Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence with. Thank you. Such an amazing God. It's good to know you. Amen. Woo. It's just great. Great to hear testimonies and great to hear the activation. And this morning, I want to pick up. It just came into my mind this morning. I wanted to pick up from where Pam left the other week. When he was talking to us about the values of our church, values of pursuit. And he talked to us about on how we are supposed to be led in pursuit. You know, we are encouraged to be led, to be directed by the person of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the foundation values of our church. And I just want to pick up from there. And my outcome desire when I finish my preaching today is I want all of us. It does not matter to me where you are at with the persons of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Whether you're at the knee level or feet level or toe level or, you know, waist level, or whether you are already swimming. My desire this morning is when I finish, I want all of us, it does not matter where we are at, to take a step further from where we are at in terms of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, I don't know for you, but, you know, kind of, you know, we have, some of us here, we have lived long life. We have had some experience and been in ministry for quite a long time. And working with churches and working with missionaries organization and traveling and speaking. You know, one of the things that I noticed that the lack of pursuing or the lack of knowing or the lack of growing in relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm talking about people who are full-time involved in missionaries, as missionaries. There's, for some reason, I don't know, out of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it seems like the Holy Spirit is always the one left behind. Rarely mentioned, we desperately need him, but we always ignore him. For somehow we have come to the, I don't know. You know, in the denomination where I come from, we believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? In theology. But when it comes to its application, when it comes to practice, the minute you move in the Spirit, or you speak in tongues, or you know, manifestation of the Spirit, you know, they give you what I call the left boot of fellowship through the exit door. When you come in, they give you the right hand of fellowship. When you move in the Spirit, you get this one exit door out of here. Okay? Don't bring that one here. Don't bring that one to the church. I'm not sure about you, but, you know, I come from that background. There's just lack of emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And there has been a lot of church planting in Fiji, as I would call it. Church planting in Fiji started because of that left boot of fellowship. Which is amazing, you know. People get kicked out because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They start another movement. It is, but it is so sad for the Holy Spirit to be treated like that. You know, and I think one of the reasons as well, this is my own conclusion, is I think, you know, we are so excited in introducing people to Jesus and left them there. You know, introducing somebody to Jesus is almost halfway done, halfway job done. Okay? Praise God. Jesus, yes, he opens the door, he's the door to the Father. He is God himself. But even Jesus himself, he said, guys, you know, we've been having good time, but it's for your advantage that I go anyway. It's for your advantage that I go. 3 years with them, he said, okay, I'm by. You're not going to see me. I'm gone. I pray to the Father that the Father will send another one on my behalf, the advocate, the comforter of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you for what? Forever. He said he will abide with you for what? Forever. When was the last time you really talked to the Holy Spirit? I mean, I'm blessed that we come to this church. It is one of our values. It was, you know, we never think about this. You know, it's just part of who we are as a church here. But, you know, I think sometimes in overemphasis of the Father and the Son, you know, we never study. We never research. We never go further than that. We just acknowledge, yeah, he's there. I really need him. When I'm preaching, I need the guy to show up to make me look good here. I want some manifestation, some application to happen here, but without relationship. I just need him when I'm here. You know, it kind of sound like, sometimes you're kind of like summon God to show up. Hey, come on, hurry up. I desperately need you. And we pray in desperation prayers, like last minute. Excuse me, better show up here. You know, I'm panicking here. Better show up and anoint what I'm doing. And you kind of expect to flick it like this and he shows up. He's an incredible servant, the Holy Spirit, but he's, you know, he's God. He's there as our counselor, as our comforter. He's our advocate, but he's God. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are all equally God. He is not less God than the other two. Scriptures, you go through the scriptures. But for somehow, he's always treated like that. It's like we forget him when we need him the most, when we're in the public, when we need some ministry. And, you know, I have my notes here, but I'm just going to go from my heart today. And so what Pam is going to do, I'm going to flick this to Pam. Okay, on the email, so when you listen to my, if you go to listen to the my preaching this morning, the note is going to be there. It's full of all the scriptures that you need to look up. Okay, so don't worry about that. Just let me flow from here. And for some reason, you know, it's always left out, but pretty needed. He's the one that Jesus said, you know, guys, this is it. I'm here. 3 years is over. I'm gone. Okay, let's go back just to look at some protocol, the way things were done when we were created. Let's see what was in God's mind. What is God's intention? It was right from the beginning. Okay, we look in Genesis chapter 2, I think in verse 7. It talks about, you know, God was, you know, doing all the stuff that he was doing in creation. Then he came to create man. And he says he was lying down there formless. In the beginning he says, let's create man, man and woman in our image, in our likeness. So he comes to chapter 2. God did it in the form of a man. He's lying down there, head being, you know, beautiful figure in the form of a dust, lying down there, but dead. It's just dead. Beautiful person lying down there, dead. Okay? And God bent down and he breathed. The Bible says, and God breathed. And the person became a living being. So from then we have man, we have our flesh, and we have our spirit. Become a spirit being. We're created in the image of God in that sense that they are spiritual beings. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are spirit. When God breathed into us, we became a spirit being. Okay? It is important to God. It is part of our makeup. That it is in our spirit that we commune with the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we are just walking dead people. It is so important in the creation of God, in their plan from eternity, that thing be breathed upon, that the Spirit, so that the Spirit of God That we are created in His image so that that faculty of our spirit becomes the place of fellowship, becomes the place where we get to know God. Okay, fast forward. When Jesus died, when He rose again, in John chapter 20, Jesus came, the disciples were there. He said, "Peace be with you." Then He breathed on them and He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Receive. Okay. Now the disciples, they become a Christian. They become born again at that moment. Because there will be no born again without Christ's blood being shed on the cross. Okay? And part of the whole package is for Jesus to breathe the Holy Spirit upon them. Then they become a Christian. Just like He did. God did in Genesis chapter 2. He breathed on them and they become a living being. He breathed on them and they become a Christian. They connected to God. Guys, you know, we are spiritual beings with a soul living in a body. The real you is the spiritual person. It is in our spirit that we have this thing, that's where we know God, that we have communion, that we have fellowship. Do you know, I just forgive me for this kind of stupidity, but sometimes I said, God, I kind of thank God for what happened in the garden in Eden, you know, the fall of man. But sometimes I really rejoice. I rejoice. I said, "Wow, you know, God, looks like we get a better deal after that." You got a better deal. Thank you two for eating that apple. The better deal is I become the temple of the living God. He now is not just, He comes upon me, He's not just coming to be with me amongst us, He lives inside of me. I have the greatest privileges of being the carrier, of being the temple of God through my spirit, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul told the Corinthians, he said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that? Do you know, just give me one worst bad example that I can come up with. But, you know, I hope it will illustrate the point. You know, if I was in my house and the Queen of England moved into my house, and as a Queen of England, with every privilege, everything that she has, she said, "I'm moving into your house and I will stuck with you forever. I'm here forever with everything that I have, all the heirs, all the rights and all the privileges, everything. I'm just moving into 30 Lenora Road. I'm going to be living with you, Tombale, forever. Whether you hate me or anything, I'm there. I'm stuck there." Do you know, there's a lot of things will happen. It's either I turn to her and I said, "Hi, Queen, you know, it's great to have you in my house. But you know what? That's the kitchen. That is the telephone. That is the bathroom there. There's a fridge. Just help yourself." Help yourself. For whatever time you're going to be staying here. Okay? That's one good way to treat him. Or I'll be totally blind. You know, I'll totally blind. I'll just, "Wow, I didn't even know she's a queen. You know, queen from England with all the privileges." I just like totally ignore. Nothing to do. I know he lives in my house. That's it. That's all. Oh, you know what? Oh, I'll do what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Guys, it's for your benefit. It is for your benefit that I'm living. It is for you. It is for your sake that I'm living. It's for your benefit." Oh, I can treat the queen like that. Wow. She had come into my house with all the full benefits. I better take benefit You know, there's another translation. He said, Jesus said, guys, it's for your advantage. It is for your advantage that I leave, because the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, I will pray and ask the Father. The promise of the Father will come and we will be with you. Oh, I do that. I said, wow, this is the Queen of England. She must have a rich bank account. She must have all these awesome privileges. Why don't I get to know the Queen? I get to know her. I get to fellowship with her. I get to talk to her. I said, wow, you know, history is, I mean, richness in her. You know who she is, you know. For me, that will be a better option. Take advantage of that. Because Jesus said, you know, I think, again, this is my own conclusion, because I kind of struggled with this. Why is Holy Spirit? You know, guys, I used to talk to him. I said, man, Holy Spirit, my goodness. When it comes to rejection, you know it yourself. When it comes to lonely, you know it yourself. When it comes to underutilized, you know it yourself. Because that's all we do to you. And I used to laugh, because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is staying inside of us and is groaning. No wonder why he has to groan. Send some signal up there. Hey guys, come on. You don't have to be in that situation. I'm here to help you. I'm the helper. That's what Jesus said. I'm the helper. You know, I think, this is my own conclusion. You know, you got to forgive me for this. I think, you know, sometimes we took the whole thing about what the Holy Spirit has to offer to us. Okay, which I'll go through that in a moment. I think, you know, when Jesus said, hey guys, just before you go into all over the world and preach the gospel, you know, you go there into that house, you stay there, you wait. You wait until the what? The power. I think, you know, sometimes this is the only thing we are pursuing him for. We are pursuing him just for the power. Makes us look good. We can get famous. We get invited left, right, and center. If the power comes upon us, we totally forgot everything else that the Holy Spirit has to offer. That would be like treating my wife, Offa, her name is Offa. She's just my wife. Hi, Miss Wife. Without thanking her or, you know, relating to her with everything else that comes as a wife. The wisdom, the nurturing of the kids, the looking after the house, the cleaning of the house, the making sure the food is there, everything else. I just treat her as like a woman, a wife. And I think, you know, sometimes that's just how we relate to the Holy Spirit. We take the last word that Jesus said, don't go until you receive the power. And that's all we are after. You know, sometimes I used to think, man, Christians, we sometimes can be just guilty as Simon the sorcerer. All he wants the power, minus relationship. Oh, sad. None of us would want that to happen to us. None of us, we will want anybody just to be interested in us because of something that we have. Not out of a pure relationship. Okay? I was, John, just see the time? We have time. Okay. I was in Fiji, and I was, thank you. I was meeting my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law is quite a rich man. And Kevin and Stephanie have met that man. He's from Papua New Guinea. And he goes to a church in Fiji, denomination in Fiji, which I will not mention. And so one day I was there. I always go and visit him. One day I was there and I met with the elders from the church. They were sitting there. And they're coming to meet with him. You know, and there's just something in me, I just want to, you know, just talk to them. You know, I kind of like, yeah, I'm a church elder too, you know, I better talk to you guys. I said, you know, I don't want you guys just to be interested in this guy because of his money, because of his wallet. Okay? That's what we do to business people. I was telling them. Because he has so much more to offer to you than the money. Okay? The guy says breakthrough in his life. You know what it means to endure. You know what it means to lose. You know what it means to win. There's a lot of stuff that he can offer. You guys, get him to come and speak in the church. Get him to come and run a seminar on how to run a business. He's a successful man. He has so much more to offer. And all that you're coming after is his money, is his wallet. Get him to preach. Put him on the pulpit. Don't go after his money. He has so much more to offer to you. And I don't want us to do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. Okay, better get on. Okay, as I told you, this list will be made available to you. Okay, guys, you should know by now, you know, for those of you who have listened to my preaching, you know, I never write down notes. You know, this is kind of a miracle. I kind of have it all here, and I just wait to come out when I show up. But sometimes it's just like everywhere. Okay, this is in terms of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There was this guy, I think James Cumming. He was, he came up with this 21 attributes of the Holy Spirit that reflect him and the Holy Spirit in his gift, in his attribute as God. Okay? And I'll just read through it. Okay? In his relationship to the Father, okay? His relationship, the Holy Spirit, relationship to the Father. You remember I mentioned it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three equal God. God, three in one. Okay? His relationship to the Father. He was the Spirit of God. He was the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of our God. He's the Spirit of the living God. He is the Spirit of your Father. He's the Spirit of glory. And he's the Spirit of God. He is the promise of the Father. This is in his relationship to Jesus. He's the Spirit of Christ. He's the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit of his Son. He is another Comforter. Okay, you know, in Jesus' ministry, Jesus, before he died, he kind of introduced the Holy Spirit ahead of time. You know, what an incredible way of leadership. I'm just, what a leadership skill, you know. He introduced the Holy Spirit ahead of time. You know, it's not insecure. He said, okay, three equally in one. This guy, it's better I go. He's going to come. And all this, Jesus demonstrated in his entire ministry, time on earth, he totally honored the Holy Spirit. They are absolutely one. Okay? Everything that he does, he reflects that in his ministry, in his time here on earth. Let's give you some scriptures. He was born of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was his Father's gift to him. He was sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism. His normal condition in his life was to be full of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the power by which he carried out his ministry. The Holy Spirit was the energy by which Christ overcame Satan. The Holy Spirit was the secret of Christ's joy. His anointing to do good came from the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit and strength, he offered himself as a sacrifice to God. The Spirit raised Christ from the dead. The Lord Jesus was the bestower of the Holy Spirit to his disciple. The Holy Spirit justified Christ. This is the Holy Spirit's essential deity or attributes. It's one spirit. Seven spirit means, in the book of Revelation, it means the perfect spirit. It's the eternal spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. He's the Holy One. The gift that he bestows to us. Listen to this. The gift that he bestows to us is the spirit of life. It's the spirit of holiness. It's the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of faith. It's the spirit of truth. The spirit of grace. The spirit of grace and supplication. It's the spirit of adoption. It's the spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. Don't go just after one and miss out all the rest of what he has to offer to you. Okay, I'm gonna have ministry time at the end, so I'm just trying to work out my time here. I'm gonna have ministry time. I'm gonna pray for people at the end. But better go into my note. I'm coming to the end. Do you know, besides all of this, there's one that I wanna talk to you as I come close to the end. It's just the one that we do on the benediction. You remember? The benediction, it just comes off our heart. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the what? And the love of the Father and the what? Of the Holy Spirit, do we say? And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The fellowship is the one that comes and leads us into our fellowship. Fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Guys, you know, when I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, life becomes meaningful to me. This is what I was created for. To know Him, to have fellowship with Him. And I'm with Him, I said, thank you for what happened in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Because now, you were living inside of me. I get to get up in the morning. Now I start work at 6. But you know, 3:30, 3:40, I set on my alarm. Because I want to make sure that, you know, I just want to have 1 hour, 1.5 hours, just undisturbed moment with the person of the Holy Spirit. I sit there and I let Him dictate the time of fellowship. Let Him lead me into a scripture or singing or meditation. I'm with Him all the time when I'm at work, but it's all disturbed because I'm paid to go and do some work. But in those 1.5 hours, it's just undisturbed moment between me and God and the Holy Spirit. And I would say all of this stuff to Him. I said, you're a spirit of love. You're a spirit of wisdom. You're a spirit of God. You're God yourself. You're the comforter. You're the counselor. You're the advocate. You are my lawyer. You're my judge. I got the best one to counsel, to guide, to lead, to fight, to go for me. And you are growing inside of me. I'm sorry for that. Because sometimes I just don't get it. But you're inside of me. You're praying. You're praying for me. You know, I get to believe the goodness of God through my fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because He's just so amazing, it is so good that I don't want to leave, I don't want to go to work. I just want an undisturbed moment like that for eternity. I said, wow, I feel the strength, I feel the joy, I feel life infused into me. I said, oh, no wonder. No wonder. No wonder. He's the fellowship. He's the one that comes for us to have fellowship with him. Guys, and I'm not doing all of that, all the spending all those hours. I'm not doing that for public ministry. I'm not doing that so I can come out and be anointed and get out. I'm not after that. I'm just doing that just totally out of a really selfish motivation in my life. And the selfish motivation is this, because I just so delight in his presence. I just love to be there. I don't care whether what I do after that, but oh, this moment, I will never miss. I set my alarm. It depends. Changes what I eat before I go to sleep. It changes what program I do before I go to sleep. Because what? I'm looking forward to this moment when I wake up in the morning. It's just me and him. Undisturbed moment between me and him. Because for me, this is what I was created for. And I know the anointing will come, the ministry will come, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it so I can have a public figure. No, I'm not doing it so I can come on the stage. I'm doing it because the joy of the Lord, the fact that I, life that I get from there, I totally understand why I was created for, what I was created for in the first place, is to be with him. This is eternal life, that they may what? Know God. Okay, as I finish this morning, I will take you to a story about the life of Jesus. This is how Jesus announced the Holy Spirit way, way beforehand. Okay, you will find the story. You can go there yourself when you have time. You'll find the story in John chapter 7, 37 to 39. John 7, 37, 39. You'll find the story. But just let me give you a little bit background of the story. Okay? The guys were saying, okay, Jesus, we're going to go to Judea because, you know, there's a tabernacle, a feast of tabernacle is happening there. Okay? We're going to go. They told him, well, you know, what is the point if you want to do a public ministry and you're living a private life? Okay, this is the opportunity. You better go there. Okay? And Jesus said, okay, guys, you know, I don't live like the world. You know, I have to check with my Father in heaven. So, for you, all the times are right. But for me, no. I have time from heaven, timeline to do things, not just like you. So the Bible says, if you read the story, they left without him. He remains in Galilee. You know, then after that, the Bible says, then Jesus left. After the disciples left, he followed them. And I said, well, Jesus, what, double-minded? He didn't get it all the way from the Father. And I asked Jesus, when you went there, I will read on to you later. You were quite passionate with what you pour out, what came out of your mouth. But what really moved you? What was in your heart when you said all of the scriptures? So I guess, you know, Jesus must have checked with the Father, and the Father said, guys, son, this is the time. That's the moment. They were right. They got it right. The disciples got it right. It's okay. Thank you for checking with me about the timing. Yes, they were right. The timing is right for you to go to that Feast of Tabernacle. You know, being a Jewish good boy, you know, this was a commandment. You know, if you read the Feast of the Tabernacle, I don't have time to go into that. There's rituals that they have to go through. Okay? It says in the last days. This is how the chapter 7, verse 27 starts, in the last days. Okay, that means there's been going on. It's been going on for 7 days. Okay, there's stuff that they have to do. So this is coming on the last days. Okay, and I just, you know, this study that. That's all I can tell you. Read the symbols and the significance of that. But one thing I want to pick up from there, and part of the celebration in the last days, and the Feast of Tabernacles, is they have to get the water from the pool of Siloah, and they have to get these two basins, one water and one spirit, one wine. And they have to mix the wine and the water. And this will be like in the climax, there will be, you know, people blowing their trumpet, they'll be dancing, they'll be singing, there's other festivities going on. This is the last day, this is the climax of it. In fact, one of the translators, you know, used that word, in the climax of the gathering, Jesus. And the priest, two priests, and they will take the water and the wine, and they will, you know, they'll pour it into the altar. Okay? Okay, so that's kind of the background. But there's a lot of feasting going on. You know, okay, the feast of offering, the feast of drinking, there's offering going on, there's all sorts of celebration, thanksgiving. You know, in the midst of that, Jesus was not going to go there in the first place. You remember? He was not going to go there in the first place. Let me turn my Bible into that. Jesus is always, we have the picture of him sitting down and talking. Okay? This one here, it says, on the last days of the great feast, John 7:37. The last days of the great feast, Jesus stood. He stood up in the midst of all of this. You know, crazy. He must be watching all these guys. The craziness of the party that is going on. You know, the eating, the drinking, the pouring of the water into the, you know. He must be sitting. He knew, I am the one. This is all about me. These guys don't get it. They don't get it. I'm here in their midst. The water and the wine, the celebration, the enjoyment, you know, the feast because of the Passover, the Exodus, all of this celebration here. The real person is sitting here. Sitting here. He stood up. He said, he cried out in a loud voice. And he said, anyone who's here who is thirsty, if you believe in me, the rivers of the living waters will gush out from you. And if you read that, it says he was talking about the what? The Holy Spirit. The rivers of the living water will gush out of you, from you. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says, at the time, because the Holy Spirit couldn't be poured out because he had to be poured out after Jesus died. If you read down below. But here, him, the Father and the Son, they can't wait to announce beforehand, after Jesus' death and resurrection, these guys will come and we will live you for, we'll be with you forever. Streams of living water will flow out from you. Anyone who is thirsty, he sets the prerequisite. Anyone who is thirsty out here, if you believe in me, it has to be through Jesus. He's believing in him. If you believe in me, come. That's what the Bible says. He cried out in a loud voice. Come. If you're thirsty. And I think, as we finish off today, thirsty is the key. Because life, there's more, so much more to Christianity than what we are enjoying right now. If this is all Christianity has to offer, give me something else. Give me something else. I used to say, God, if this is all Christianity you have to offer, just bring me to heaven. There's more life there, more joy there. But there is more streams of the living water. It's the power of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of that resurrected Christ from the dead. Holy Spirit. It's more than just the power. It's everything that you need. You know, if you're losing the joy of Christianity. Guys, some of you have 30 more years. I'm sorry to tell you. Some of you have 30, 50 more years. If you are bored right now, can you imagine for the next 50 years? And how can you choose that option? When the option from heaven, right when you were created, you're going to put the Holy Spirit into them to live with them forever. Guys, there's more to life than Christianity. Than what you experience now. Come to the river. For those of you who are thirsty, come to the river. And I want you tonight, today, as I give the challenge today, as I close off, I already told you that I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for people today. and John and the ministry team will help me on that. But I'm after. Guys, I'm really after those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, those who said there's so much more. There's so much more. It is through the person. I want to pray for those people that you want to be on a track. You go, take this stream in life. He said, I want to get to know the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to look for scriptures. I'm going to look for books about him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to relate to him. I get to know him. Because he lives in me forever. What am I going to do with him? Underutilize what God has given? That's a bad choice. Do you just want to be bored? Live a nominal Christian life? How can that be? When the third person in Trinity, God himself, has chosen to come to live with us. So if that is you, I'm after those who want to be on the track. I'm after those who said, you know what? You whet my appetite today. You know what? All these years of my Christianity, all these years I know the Holy Spirit. You know what? I want some more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Anyone who is thirsty, if you believe in me, that's what Jesus said, come. The streams of living water will flow out. Doesn't matter whether you are right here, or whether we are happy, or whether we are here. It has to overflow. The life of the Spirit has to overflow out of you. If that is you, I want you to leave your seat. Leave your seat and come to the front. Do something about it.